Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the, what is it, the 11th of October 2020. It's the 11th, right? That's right. Damn. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Happy Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day, because we are all Indigenous people. If you were born, well, it depends. You want to look at it as from, I was born in a city, you're Indigenous to that city. You want to do a state, you want to do a country, you want to do a hemisphere, continent, planet, I don't give a damn. I'm not going to play the game of the left. I'm going to use their words and take it to the nth degree to make them angry. We're all Indigenous people here, one way or another. Anyway, it's a holiday. That's all I know. And as such, I'm going to do a rerun here. But first, I have to make an announcement, because I promised there would be books given away, or a book given away. The copy of the Corey Lewandowski, David Bossy book, Trump's Enemies. And I did the drawing before I tell you who that is. And before, I'm going to replay the last interview I did with my friend Bo Snerdly before, for today. So, because it was good. It was good. Plus, you should listen to that Rush Limbaugh podcast that he did. I talked to pretty much everybody involved in the Rush Limbaugh show over the 33 years it was on the air. So it gives you an inside look at the man, the myth, and the legend. But the next book, the giveaway for next week, in which there will be pictures posted up there. I almost used the Scott Walker book. I'll give a Scott Walker book away later on, signed Scott Walker book. But I was looking at Scott Walker's autograph, and I remember when I got these books signed, and I'm just like, really, dude, that's how you sign your name? Because it's just a scribble. It's just, it's not even like, you don't even use your initials. I'd get it if it was SW. This is like kind of an S, kind of an S. It kind of sucks because before I knew that it was that and only that, I'd had him sign a Major League Baseball. I'm like, oh, good God. Now I'd have to explain who that is. I had to remind myself who that is. But anyway, it's genuine autograph. We'll give that away coming up. But this week's book, signed book, is Unmasked, Big Media's War Against Trump by Brent Bozell and Tim Graham, signed by both. It's another twofer. Yes, I got these signed when I went to the Media Research Center to record an interview with Brent Bozell. I think it was with Brent, not Tim. I've done interviews with both of them. Anyway, you get a signed copy. Same deal as always. Go to the patreon.com/Derek Hunter podcast. Look up the well, if you're a member, you'll see the post there. And if you're not a member, you have to join. It's $5 a month. And you get a chance to win signed books. You get all sorts of other goodies, too. But just comment on the post with the picture of Unmasked, the Big Media's War Against Trump. It can be clever. It can be not clever. It can be whatever the hell you want, because it doesn't matter. Your name is in the hat when you put it up there. I like the clever ones. Lots of let's go Brandons and good job Brandons and stuff like that in the comment section. But and I get a kick out of all of them. I get an email notification on each and every one of them. But yeah, that's all you got to do to enter to win. It's pretty simple. Pretty basic. Anyway, it's patreon.com/Derek Hunter podcast. Let me tell you who the winner is this week. It is someone named Armando Dominguez. Armando Dominguez, congratulations to you. Armando Dominguez, your name was pulled from the hat. Congratulations. You will be contacted through Patreon, and I don't know how that gets to you or whatever, but you won, and you've got to email me. Respond. You can just read the email and send me your address, and I will send you the book. The winner from last week should have the book already, And I get these out pretty quickly as I can. So congratulations, Armando Dominguez. You won this week, Trump's enemies. Next week, Unmasked, the big media's war against Trump, autographed by Brent Bozell and Tim Graham of the Media Research Center. It's win-win. All the low cost of $5 a month, which gets you the Week in Effin' Review, which is a half an hour. This one was almost like a full hour this week of news talked about the way the news deserves to be talked about, quite frankly. F-bombs galore. Anyway, let me tell you quickly about Life Change Tea. Yes, that's right. You want your life changed? Got some Life Change Tea. It's right there in the name. It's a tea that keeps you regular. It's a tea that gets you going. Tea that makes you go. Cleans you out. Cleans you out in a way that is very good for you. And then it allows you to absorb more of the nutrition from the food that you consume. So there you go. More energy, more nutrition. Good, good stuff. You win. Everybody wins. Go to getthetea.com. Choose your flavor. And at checkout, you enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K. Click apply. And you get free fast shipping on top of everything else. Getthetea.com. Promo code Derek. Click apply and you win. We all win. Everybody wins. You'll thank me for it, as many of you have. All right. Now, this week's show, or this Monday's show, since it is a holiday, and I hope you're celebrating Columbus Day in some way that will annoy any liberal who's aware of the fact that you're celebrating Columbus Day, is the rerun of the program that was from, when the hell was that? It was from 4 months, I gotta look this up. All right, there it is. It was from May 17th, 2021. Our friend Bo Snerdly, James Golden, he has a podcast out there about his time with the Rush Limbaugh Show. It's Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. I interviewed him about that, and here it is. Have a great Monday. We'll be back normal programming tomorrow. Welcome back to the program. I'll never forget the day I heard that coming down the headphones, sitting in front of a microphone, scared to death, soiling myself, going, oh my God, I'm about to talk. The day I had the great honor of filling in for Rush Limbaugh, and it's a great honor again to welcome back the producer of the Rush Limbaugh Show and the official call screener and the official Obama criticizer. His name is James Golden, but you know him by Bo Snerdly. How are you doing, my friend?
Derek, I'm okay. Good to be with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing, every time it's a Friday, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You, of course, years, decades with the Rush Limbaugh Show and then the horrible loss of Rush, just, it's still not over it. It was what I listened to on the radio. It was all I listened to on the radio. And to keep the legacy alive, you have launched a new podcast, Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. You've always had the stories, and you get the stories out of you a little bit talking to you. But now the Rush Limbaugh family, and I know three people who worked for Rush for a long, long time. It's a very tight-knit group and a very protective group. This new podcast, you're letting people into areas that you didn't previously let them into. How did the podcast come about, and how does it feel doing it and letting that the sort of wall down?
It came about, I was asked to do it by Julie Talbot, who's the president of Premier Networks, and Craig Kitchen, who, I don't even know what Craig's title is. Craig is just Mr. Everything. Craig has been worked with the show in executive capacity for many years. He's the founder of Premier Networks before he went to move on to another company of his own. And so they asked me, would I be interested in hosting a podcast series on Rush and the life of Rush? And I, of course, said immediately, yes, I would. That was one that was, for me, a no-brainer. It is an awesome responsibility, because we're trying to, with the podcast series, I have two amazing producers, broadcast producers working with me, Philip Tower and Chris Kelly. And what we're trying to do is create exactly what you said, Derek, which is kind of a look behind the scenes. And, yeah, that hasn't been done so far on the program, at least not to any great degree. It's a 12-part series, so there'll be 12 episodes. The first one is out this week, was out Wednesday of this week. And we encourage people to download it wherever they download their podcast from. It's called Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIP mic. And it feels like a weight in a way because we want it to be excellent. Mm-hmm. We want it to live up to the standards of the EIB network, the standards that Rush has. Of course, I feel that I would want Rush to be proud of every single second of it if he were able to hear it. And so there's a lot of anxiety from my part. Just we want it to be compelling. And
well, I can tell you as a longtime listener since like 89 when he first came on in Detroit to the end, I listened to the first episode, and it exceeded. The first episode is called Most Difficult Day, and you recount, it also features, it's a biography, but it's also a peek behind the curtain. And the first half of the podcast is you recounting with audio clips from Rush the day that he announced to the staff before he announced to the world, the same day he announced to the world that he had advanced lung cancer. Recount a little, because you say in the podcast that you didn't have staff meetings. Rush never called the staff together. Everybody knew their jobs. Everybody did it. If you needed it's something, you could. It was a well-oiled machine at that point. So you knew driving in that something was up. What did you think it could have been?
I didn't know. All I knew that I was tense as soon as I heard while driving into work that there was going to be an all hands on deck meeting. We don't have those at the EIB network. We just don't. We've had maybe one, I think, that I can remember. Maybe there was another one. I only remember one in the entire 33 years. And so I knew something was wrong. And and we had a staff member who was actually on vacation that was called back from vacation. I didn't know that while I was driving in, but when I realized that the person was also there, it was just like, oh my gosh, something is really wrong, mm-hmm. because she's supposed to be on vacation. So, that was a day, as I say in the podcast, I'll never forget, and I don't think any of the other staff will forget. But the other thing is that it points to kind of the incredible businessman that Rush was, the way that he ran this network. This was Rush's network. I mean, Rush had business partners, yes. Premier is a business partner, yes. iHeart is a business partner, yes. But this was Rush's network. And the fact that we didn't have his staff, we didn't have staff meetings, we didn't have all that. Now, individual departments may have had meetings like the web crew. They have meetings. I'm sure on the Limbaugh Letter side, there are meetings. But as an overall staff meetings, we didn't have them, because what Rush did was hire amazingly productive, talented people and then let them go. He let them do their jobs. We went, and the idea was that you knew what to do, and we all did. We all wanted to just produce excellent work. We all wanted to make sure that our work was up to the standard that we knew Rush wanted. And he was, and we had such low turnover. Most of the people that came on to work with EIB had been there for decades. When you got a job here, you stayed here because it was a great environment to work with. Rush was an amazingly generous and great boss. And we just loved what we did. More importantly, we all loved Rush. You know, I get a lot of attention because of my back and forth with Rush, which was on the air, some of it. But everybody on that staff, everybody on the EIB staff, to a person, works as hard as I do. They all love Rush as intensely as I do. We all did as a group of people. And we all were devoted to our jobs and to being excellent. So, you know, I felt some guilt over the years being the one that had interview time with people like this one, and even hosting the series. Anybody on our staff could tell you the same thing that I'm telling you about Rush, because that's how amazing he was.
And that's how tight-knit they were. Like I said, I were talking with James Golden, Bo Snerdly from the Rush Limbaugh Show, about his new podcast, Rush, the Man Behind the Golden EIB Microphone, which is available everywhere now. Subscribe to it. I know two other people who work in New York on the website mostly up there, and I talked to one of them, Dean, afterwards. I interviewed him for my podcast, and he conveyed the same sort of thing. There was this sense of immense love and trust. Rush trusted his staff unquestioningly. And
right.
Dean would say he'd send him things during a monologue, and Rush would incorporate it right away. And it was just, it was almost like a hive, kind of. Everybody knew their parts. Every he opened up a clock, every gear in there serves a purpose. It seems like every gear in the Rush Limbaugh show served a purpose. And how do you get to that point? Do you remember interviewing for the job or getting the job? How did that come about for you to become the gear?
I got the job because I was rotated on the job. I was at WABC Radio, where, by the way, I'm back on Saturdays now doing the Saturday show at my home radio station, WABC in New York. but the deal was at the time that Rush had had an arrangement with WABC where they would provide him with the engineer and the call screener. And there were two other Snurdlies before me. No one remembers them, thankfully, because I've been there that long.
Not blood relatives.
I was rotated on the job, and I stayed there, and I clicked. Rush and I clicked. Well, Rush and I had clicked before. I mean, even before I was working for him, I had interaction with him. I would bring back news stories to his office. I thought that he might have interest in. He and I had a relationship before then that I would call a friend. You know, we had become friends. But once I rotated on and he became my boss, you know, and it was swift. It was swift, and then came, at the time I was working for ABC, and then came the day that my employment with WABC came to an end. And within hours of that happening, Rush had just said, you're full-time with me now, period. That was it. It was no discussion. It was just, and I even forgot the reason. I think they were doing, you know, this was one of the first rounds of layoffs, you know, in the radio business, there are these rounds of layoffs that happen every now and again.
Right.
And so I got caught in one of those, and I had been with WABC well over a decade at that point. So at the very day that I got my layoff notice from WABC, Rush just said, no, forget about that. You're on full time with me now. And that was that.
And it quite, because back then, correct me if I'm wrong, James, Rush was doing a local show and his national show, was he not?
He was doing the local show, but that had gone away. That went away real quick. That was a demand that was put on the syndicator at the time, EFM Network, in order to clear the show in New York, in order so the show could air in New York. That they also, WABC local wanted an hour of Rush local. They teamed him up with the news director over at the time, Kathleen Maloney, a wonderful woman who, and that was an interesting show, but it just wasn't the show that Rush wanted to do, the national show, obviously. He didn't want to focus just on New York.
Mm-hmm.
So that show went away very quickly. As the radio stations in the syndication company started to grow, it started at 56, it started moving up, you know, 56, 70, 80, 100, 150, 200, that show.
What was it like at that time when you because you're breaking new ground. This hadn't been done.
It was heady. And to me, I look back on it now, it all seems like a blur of activity. Hard to remember specific details because it all was happening so fast. Everything was just light speed. Then the next thing we know, there were reporters coming in to do interviews. Rush was on TV. Rush was on magazine covers. Rush was on this magazine cover. And then, of course, the liberal haters started.
Mm.
And they've never since. The liberal haters tried to do. Rush was the precursor to the cancel culture. They tried to cancel him because he was effective in bringing people over to look at politics very differently. And that's when the hatred started. That's also when I will always remember this. One of the two major wire services left did a story on how Rush was misleading people, and they gave examples, supposed examples of things he had said on the show that were wrong. Well, as it turns out, these were all talking points that this wire service had taken from a group calling themselves Fairness and Accuracy or something like that, some little media concocted group of bunch of leftists. Well, Rush went through and gave source material for every single story that he used that they had cited. And this is a major, major wire service. Major. And they refused to print it. They let the lie stand instead of correcting it journalistically for the truth. And that was a precursor of what our media was going to become and what our mainstream press is right now.
Well, the cancel culture and the attacks on Rush were, of course, legendary and continual. Did he ever take it personally? And I know you. How did you stop from choking somebody? How did you stop from going after? Because even if it was water off of Rush's back, I can't imagine it was you let it go.
I was angry. I was very, very angry at some of these attacks. And, you know, and Rush, but Rush just kept his composure throughout everything. And I think that helped to mitigate everything for all of us. But, of course, he had to take some of it personally. I mean, but Rush had a thick skin. You know, he kind of understood, okay, this is the level that I'm playing at now. This is the level of engagement. And he responded accordingly. Of course, it still bothers me.
Mm-hmm. No, you still respond to nasty things with kindness on social media, but you still...
I try to all the time just because that's the right thing to do. But I'm not even talking about some of those trolls. Those trolls, please, not worth even getting angry at. They're unfortunate. Think about it. How your life has to be, what it must be like to live in a body where you're filled with hate for someone that you never even listened to. I mean, I feel sorry for those people, and I mean that. I'm not trying to say that in a deprecating way. I really do feel sorry for people who are filled with hatred for people they don't even know, based on something someone else told them, and they don't even have the wherewithal to check it out for themselves. I mean, how pathetic. I would hate to be trapped in that kind of a life. But I'm talking about some of these institutions, some of these broadcast institutions, where you have reporters that can ferret out the truth, where you have people that if they wanted to could be truthful, and they're not. Those are the ones that kind of make me angry, because they know that they're being dishonest. They know that these attacks that they do on, and this was a precursor of what it was going to be like watching the mainstream press operate during the Trump years. Exactly the same thing on steroids.
Well, I would say I'm not sure that they could actually ferret out the truth. I think that muscle in the journalism world has atrophied to the point that it's unusable. James Golden, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone, in episode one, it goes from you telling the story of Rush announcing his diagnosis to the staff and then the world to Rudy Giuliani. In between, there's a little bit of a... There's a clip of David Limbaugh, a friend of mine, in there. Who can we... Like I said, Rudy Giuliani is featured prominently in the first episode. Who can we look forward to in future episodes?
You'll have to get the future episodes.
You can throw a couple of names out. I'm going to listen either way. Everybody listening is going to listen.
What the hell?
Hey, even Santa asked for a list.
Subscribe to the podcast.
I have subscribed to the podcast, James.
We're going to be talking to some of Rush's family.
I want to know what's in that box before I open it, man.
Yeah, open the box. We're going to be talking to some of his friends. We might even talk to a substitute guest host that did the show once.
I highly doubt that. You've got standards for this thing. But, you've gone on, you do a lot of other things. Tell me, as you were getting involved, because you have Golden Communications and you have the New Journey Pack and everything like that, working for Rush Limbaugh, it never diverted from your time or anything, but how supportive was Rush in you and other staff members going, I'm not leaving, I'm not going to let my job suffer, but I want to branch out and do other things? Because a lot of bosses don't want that.
Rush was supportive of everything. You know what? One of the things, when I started the pack, I went in and I told him, I said, you know, Rush, I did something. He looked at me like, okay, what'd you do? And I told him I started NewJourneyPack.org. NewJourneyPack.org. One more time. NewJourneyPack.org. So I told him, thank you, Derek. So I told him, and if you ever tried to do that on the Rush Show, man, I would freaking string you up. just for the record.
I know.
Okay. But so when I told him that, he asked me why, and I told him. And I told him it was primarily to try to help move the black vote and also to serve as a defense, because we wanted to find, because I'm tired of waiting around. And this goes back to what you said, Derek. I am annoyed that our side has done so little to defend our heroes.
Yes.
Be they Rush, be it Sean, be it Donald Trump, be it any of our talk show hosts that occasionally draw the ire of these people on the left. When a member of the left is attacked, the entire left mobilizes to protect them.
Just look at Eric Swalwell. They circled the wagons around him while he was sleeping with a Chinese spy.
Right. Exactly. Now, when somebody on the right gets attacked, whether it be Rush, whether it be Donald Trump, whatever, all these Republican establishment types sit on their hands, and they're just like, it's almost like they're afraid to do combat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons I formed the pact. It's just like, look, no, we're going to combat these people. I'm tired of being on the outside all these years watching our side get hammered, especially on this racial crap. And then we do nothing in response. So I decided to form a group that would do some response. But see, the thing is, it never took away from the job. We hired and found an amazing guy, Audrey Pruitt, to run it. So I don't have to run it day to day. And Audrey understands my energy is in the Rush show. But I still do as much as I can with the pack. But it is run by a guy who knows what he's doing and who feels the same way we do. So that was good. I would never, if something started interfering with the show and the time that I could put in the show, whatever that was in my life, that thing had to go.
No, I hear you. The website is newjourneypack.org, or you can just go to maga.black and find out more about it. Last question, James, really quickly, because it's something that I was never successfully able to do. I never even got you to hang up on me on the phone, except in our friendship, but not in your professional capacity. What was the secret to getting past Bo Snerdly to get on the Rush Limbaugh show?
You have to be bright, articulate, intelligent, be able to express your point really quickly, and hope that I'm in a good mood.
But Rush always said on the air that there was a secret to the timing of calling when a line...
There was, and I'm never going to reveal that.
Damn it. Damn it. I always got the busy signal. I'd even call an hour before the show, and it was busy. It bothered me that I never got through, but... Oh, well, I can still bother you at all hours of the night. James Golden.
You're on the radio now. You're on the radio, and you're also a writer, and you're also like this multi-talented, multimedia personality in your own right. So anything that you have to say, you can say it, and there's always going to be a big audience for what you do. You were doing podcasts before a lot of other people were doing podcasts. You were doing, your writing is insanely incredible. And I don't know why, by the way, since we're speaking about that, I don't know why, you're an author. You've done all of that. I don't know why there's not a movie about Derek Hunter and the life of Derek Hunter yet, because you've had amazing success.
You want to play the role of me? We'll cast it right now.
Yeah, that'd look pretty funny, wouldn't it?
You're almost as tall as I am. James, the check is in the mail for that last little bit. We're going to encapsulate that. I'm going to make it a ringtone. The podcast, Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone, available everywhere now. Subscribe, since you won't tell us who's coming up on it. Continued success. Go to maga.black, newjourneypack.org. James Golden, Bo Snerdly, thanks so much for your time, buddy.
Derek, thank you. And thank you for your great friendship. It means a lot to me to have you as a friend, especially, friends are easy to have when things are great, but when things are going the way that they go bad, sometimes you really count your friends, and they're a blessing, and you're one of those. Thanks.
Thank you.
That is it. Go enjoy Columbus Day. Yes, Columbus Day. And thanks to Bo Snerdly. Always good. Check out that podcast, Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. All the parts are available now, so you can binge listen to it if you're taking a road trip or if you're just doing stuff around the house. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold. We'll be back tomorrow, like I said, with normal programming. Thank you for listening.